Welcome to the Just a Burger post-game report. Crittenden County's coming off of a one-point homecoming loss, 13-12 to Muhlenberg County. Coach Starnes, they're a 6A team, but we had a shot at them.
You know, Chris, we felt like we played well enough to win that ball game, but made some mistakes in crucial situations that prevented us from winning the game. And, you know, we tell the kids every day that the little things, you got to take care of the little things, because if you do, the big things will come. And referring to, you know, basic blocks, snaps, holds, throws, catches, things like that, jumping off sides to where, you know, you have to be able to do those little things, and then winning will come from that. So it's just a matter of playing hard enough. I thought Coach Wheeler had a great game plan going into it defensively, because they were very potent offense, we felt like, watching the films. And, you know, I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, Coach Wheeler, talk a little bit about your game plan for these guys, because they came in as the number 11 team in Class 6A in scoring offense. So we held a team that has put up a lot of points in the previous games, and who are now 4-2 on the season. We held them to two touchdowns.
Yeah, you know, they were a very good ball team. You know, getting the film on them, you know, we looked at it and came up with a game plan. Coach Starnes had quite a few recommendations of what we could do. And, you know, the defense really came to play that night. We showed them multiple fronts. And, you know, like I said, our guys really moved around and actually were very confusing even to us when we were calling the plays. So, you know, I think that really posed several problems for them offensively.
Talk about some of your guys on defense who played well. Zach Tinsley had 6 solo tackles. Brendan Phillips had 5. And I think somebody else had 5. Oh, Wallace had 5 also.
Yeah,
and Castiller.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Tinsley, he came up when we were in a 5-man front at nose guard. I thought he did a really good job of even using his speed to get around and kind of make things happen. You know, the secondary, Noah Dickerson had several solos. He had 6 solos. You know, and that's coming, you know, from the safety position. He was mostly in the middle of the field most of the night. Castiller probably didn't have as many solos, but had a big crucial third or fourth down at the end of the game when Cosby intercepted it, brought him off the edge, and he forced the quarterback to throw it very fast, and Cosby was able to pick it. And, you know, real proud of the DBs for, you know, having some picks and just having good coverage. I don't think they really had too much in the air on Friday night.
I failed to mention Dickerson, who did have 6 solo tackles and 2 tackles for loss. And then also I mentioned Travis Gilbert on defense, who had 3 tackles, but he also had an interception. And I believe that's 3 he's had this season. So pretty good stats for your quarterback who plays on defense as well. Coach Starnes, offensively, I thought Travis Gilbert probably – wore his arm out. You know, he's a pitcher on the baseball team, and I don't know if I've seen him throw that many pitches in a game either.
Yeah, I mean, you know, watching film, you know, we felt like first and foremost we needed to keep him off balance offensively, just so they didn't know and what we were going to do. So we went from spread and eye and wishbone, trying to keep him off balance. But we knew the coverage in certain formations that we ran, what coverage that they were going to be in and how they lined up. So we knew that certain things were open, and the quick passing game was there, and we knew that. And we knew in a Trips formation that we could run the ball backside away from Trips based on the way that they adjusted to it and lined up. The only problem is that we didn't execute up front like we should have. And if we do execute up front, we're able to run the ball more and keep them off balance. So that was a little disappointing for me, because, you know, I know we're young up front, I know we're inexperienced up front, but – you know, there comes a point in time throughout a season that you have to mature and grow on the run, and I felt like that we're not improving as much there as we are in other areas, and we need to do that.
You know, I really felt like we played a pretty good football game against a good football team, even though we did, and it was tough to lose a one-point game at home like that. But it seemed to me like they grew up. Some of them grew up a little bit. Just a few little mistakes here and there, and the. It cost you on the extra point, which changed things on the next time you after you scored and had to go for 2 there. And then we all agreed, I think everybody on at least in on the Crittenden side agreed that there probably should have been a flag thrown on that for on that 2-point conversion try on the pass for face guarding.
Yeah, and you know, as coaches, we have the luxury to be able to go back and watch the film and to see where the mistakes were that could have been a difference in ball games. And make no mistake, the extra point, you know, was probably one of the biggest, and you could see it is visible because it forced us to go for two for the next time to make up. But there were several more than that that we felt like could have been the difference of ball games that we'd executed. And so, you know, I'm very pleased with the fight of the kids, the intensity of the kids, their effort. I think that we matured and we grew up a little bit in that area, but I'm still disappointed in some of the technique things that we need to be doing in order to be a better football team. And you think that after five games, that especially four games under your belt, that you have to be able to mature and grow and learn as you go, and that's just part of the game and part of being inexperienced. But young players and even inexperienced players, you have the opportunity each game to grow and learn, and I don't feel like that we're growing and learning like we should in those positions.
Of course we do. I know we talk about this all the time. Those guys up front are all new, first year, and we are halfway to the halfway point of the season. And this time next year, those sophomores will be juniors, and maybe a lot of those things will be different.
Yeah, and you know, what I want to see up front is I want to see us developing the pride as a unit up front to where your guy doesn't make a play. At all costs, your guy doesn't make the play. And we're not seeing that. If it's not there, we know our effort's not there. We turn and we watch the ball or ball carrier, and that just shows that you're not trying everything that you can in order to block your guy. That's what we want to see. That's what I'm talking about, maturity and growing, and I'm not seeing that.
Yeah. Muhlenberg County was had some big guys up front. They moved those number 77, 65. Both of them were great big players, and they moved them around a lot. And so everybody got a dose of them, I think.
And I didn't think that they dominated like I expected to, like we saw them doing in other games too. And I'm proud of that. And you know, I thought Travis Fitzgerald played a good game, and I think he grew a little bit and he matured. But at the same time, you know, you got to be smart enough not to jump off sides and on third or fourth down and short to give them the ball again. So we have to understand those things, and we have to grow from there and understand that. That's what I'm talking about, that we have to be able to do and learn. You know, as a unit up front, I just feel like that we have a lot of room for improvement.
Passing-wise, Gilbert was 23 of 34, had one interception. That came real late when we were trying some desperation stuff down the field. But threw for 144 yards, which is the most of his career. And Travis has been around for a long time. We've just never been a real passing team since he's been here. But Noah Dickerson had 8 catches for 56 yards. Daniel Wagner, 5 for 40. Nick Castiller, 3 for 24. Brendan Phillips, 3 for 15. Wagner, 3 for 5. Cosby caught a pass. And it's a lot of kids, and we've talked all season. You've said, you know, we got kids who have pretty good hands to catch the ball. So did you see anything that might lead you to go more to the air in the future?
Well, I mean, we always have that ability, and I've always said in order to win ball games, you have to be able to throw it and run it. It was obvious to me early that we weren't going to be able to line up and just play smash mouth. The first series showed that. We were not blocking up front because they were a little bit bigger and stronger. So, you know, at that particular time is when we decided we had to mix it up and try to keep them off balance, and we had success after that. You know, it's just a matter of execution and a matter of us being able to put one more score on the board or to get drive the ball down enough to where we have a chance to win the ball game with a field goal. Mike has got a great leg, and if we can ever get him the opportunity to kick it, we've got to get the snap right and the hold in order for us to be able to do that. But I would like that Micah to have an opportunity to kick it. And I was wanting it for the kids at that particular time because, being honest with you, going into the game, you know, I didn't know if we could beat this team because we felt like that they had an explosive offense and they were big up front defensively. Linebackers played hard and secondary was athletic. So, you know, afterwards, then you say it's a moral victory that we were – you know, within 1 point and had an opportunity, mistake here or there to win the ball game. But, you know, as a coach and as many years that I've been here, I'm not looking forward. I'm not looking for moral victories. And I don't enjoy saying that, you know, but we had a chance, you know, against a 6A team. We have to secure all the opportunities that we can when we get a chance to win it. We have to be able to make sure that first and foremost we're disciplined enough to do what we're supposed to do to win a ball game.
Yeah, there's not another column over there for almost, is there? It's not W's, L's, and that's it.
That's it.
Speaking of their offense, which you did, they were very explosive and had proven that throughout the season, put up 30 and 40 points several times. And Chase Deason, their quarterback, senior Coach Wheeler, you held him to the 31 yards, and he had been averaging well over 100. Had one game he rushed for over 200 yards. So the kids did a good job with the option offense that they brought to bear.
I thought definitely, you know, like we said in the pregame podcast, that, you know, a lot was going to be on our defensive end shoulders of to see, you know, we told them, I think, on Wednesday that after the game was over, we could look at the didn't need to look at the box score. We could just look to see, you know, how many tackles or missed tackles they had, and that would determine if we won or not. And I thought they both did a pretty decent job on it. But the plays that they broke was when one person, you know, made up one little bitty mistake of not doing their responsibility. You know, the defense been coming up, supposed to have quarterback, and then kind of went out to the running back, and then basically made Chase Deason make a decision, and that's when he did get some yardage. But, you know, I thought the DBs, that's what we're really going to have to improve on, is when it comes time to pin your ears and come up and take out that running back, that you're going to have to do that. So, you know, there's still a lot of improvement we can make, you know, on option. And like I said, overall, you know, I'm proud of the way that they played very hard. But, you know, just a little bit better of things we could do drills-wise in the week. Might would have led us to stop a couple of plays and a couple of plays that they scored on.
Well, the team we're going to play this Friday night is also a 6A team and winless, Marshall County. So they're going to be terribly hungry. I think Marshall's played a much tougher schedule than Muhlenberg has. So it's going to be a different kind of ball game. But we've played Marshall County tough the last two seasons, and we'll talk at length about the Marshals on Thursday. For now, Coach Starnes, any injuries that could make a difference this week?
Well, we're looking at Travis Gilbert to find out. He hurt his knee close to the end of the ball game, and my understanding is that he's supposed to have an MRI tomorrow to determine if there's any injury in that. So, you know, we just have to see, and hopefully it's not, because he did play a great game. He's had a couple good games. He's solid for us. So, you know, hopefully it's not. And I think that's about the extent of the injury report that we have.
Any of the other kids, Hollis or Seth Birdwell, anything new on those guys?
Seth, he was released. They didn't find anything, fracture or broken in his neck that was good, because that's what they were worried about. Ended up being more or less a strain. And so he's moving a little bit better. I look for him to possibly be ready. I don't think he'd be ready this week. It'd probably be next week before he's ready. But Dylan Hollis, I think, has one more week before he has to go back to the doctor and check it again. So, but again, with him, it'll be a slow progression back into play as well, because it. You know, you're talking about re-aggravating it, and we really don't need to re-aggravate it with three or four games left.
Mm-hmm. That's right, four games left on a schedule, shorter season than normal, and then we're going to go into the playoffs. So we'll talk to you guys on Thursday, and we'll take a close look at Marshall County. This is the Just a Burger post-game report.